I'd like you to turn first over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we've had two messages that deal with the will of the Father. We talked about establishing the Father's will. We talked about the Holy Spirit and the Father's will. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of review tonight, but if you haven't heard those first two messages, it really would behoove you to get those tapes. As I shared this morning, the first message that I gave to you on this, I personally believe, is the most profound sermon I've ever preached in my life because of the message that it contains. And what we have learned, and I'm going to be a little bit of review to set the stage for tonight, but not a whole lot of review. So there will be a lot of blanks left out. And that's where the other tapes will fill in. But what we have learned is that the will of the Father, God's will, was established in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And when God created everything, He looked at it, and at the end of the sixth day, He said, "It's very good." And then it says, He stopped creating. So we know that everything which was made, whether it was a planet, an animal, a fish, a tree, a man, everything that He made, it all met His perfect standard. Because if it hadn't, He wouldn't have stopped creating. But He stopped, and therefore when He said, "It's very good," it means that everything met His standard, especially man. Man had God's life on the inside of him. He had God's nature. And we shared how that Adam had a relationship with God. He knew the voice of God. And there was no question in his mind as to whether or not God was speaking or He wasn't speaking. He could clearly distinguish the Word of God. He knew His calling. God said, "Here's the garden, tend it and keep it." So Adam knew his ministry. There was no question as to what Adam was supposed to do. And we learned how that through sin, Genesis chapter 3, God's plan was corrupted. Everything got messed up. All of creation, including man, because of the sin that was released. We found out how that God had a plan to fix everything. Well, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ, the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, meaning that God's plan, even before He finished all of creation, even before He got involved in creation, He already had a plan to restore creation back to the original intent. Because the will of the Father is demonstrated in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. That has never changed. And even though sin corrupted everything, God's will was still the same. And the purpose of Jesus was to help get all of creation, including man, back to the original purpose of God, which is revealed in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And we've learned how that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become born again, we have God's life on the inside of us, which is a spiritual restoration back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Because that's what God wanted for man to have God's life on the inside of him. So when we accept Jesus, we become born again, a spiritual birth. Now granted, we have to grow spiritually, but as far as our spiritual condition, it is now just like it was back in Genesis. Because that's what God wanted all along. And when Jesus made the statement that I've come to do the works and the will of the Father, if we wonder what those works and will are, all we have to do is go back and look in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. That's why Jesus caused the blind people to see, the deaf people to hear, and the lame people to walk, etc. and so on and so forth. It's because God wanted people to see. That's the way He created it. He wanted people to hear. That's the way He created it. He wanted people to walk. That's how He created it. So Jesus came to earth and He was working a Genesis 1 and 2 work in the bodies of people. Then through His death and resurrection, He was able to work the spiritual Genesis 1 and 2 restoration in people. Well, Jesus went on back to the Father and left us here. And he says, what I did, you're supposed to pick up and go forward. The difference is this. You not only are going to be able to work in people a physical restoration by the laying on of hands, by the speaking of my word, etc. and so forth, but you're also going to be able to lead them to the spiritual restoration, which is something that I could not do until I had been crucified. But by then, it was ready for me to go back to heaven. So you get to do something that even I could not do when I was down there. I could not tell people that they could be born again right then because I had not yet been their sacrifice. But now that that's all finished, you're supposed to pick this up and go forward. That's why I said in John 14, verse 12, the works that I do, you can do also. It is your responsibility to help get people back to the Genesis 1 and 2 state of existence as much as you possibly can. And even though you're not going to be able to glorify their body, that's coming. You will be able to minister healing to their body so that they can live out their life. You will be able to minister that kind of restoration. The same kind of restoration that I... Because remember, Jesus didn't give anybody a glorified body, but he did heal what they had. So we're supposed to carry on and do the same thing. Now what that means is, we're here on earth, our sole purpose for existence is to help people get as close as possible back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. That's our sole purpose. If you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, governor, all of those things fit into the will of the Father, which is, let's get it back to my intent. Because when you read the book of Revelation, what do you find? A new heaven and a new earth to go along with a new us. Hallelujah. So see, in Revelation, it tells us that we're going back to Genesis 1, Genesis 2. Now, that's going to be somewhat different. We understand that. But it's going to be restored back according to the will of the Father. Okay, now, what that means is, as we've learned, that sermons, teachings, theology, doctrine, and so forth, which would say something like healing is not for today, absolutely does not line up with the Father's will. Because again, all you have to do is look in Genesis 1 and 2, and you see the Father's will. If He had wanted it to be anything else, we'd have seen that. But we don't see it. So therefore, healing is for today. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit when people preach and teach that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. That is absolutely out of line with God's will. Because the Father's will, again, is to get us back as much as possible to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Well, we learned how that when Adam was in the garden, he didn't need things like a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy. He didn't need any of those things because he knew the Father's voice. He had that kind of relationship with God. And God wants us to get back to the place to where we know how to distinguish His desires from our desires and the lies of the devil. So therefore, in this process, while we are growing in this new life that we have, we need the gifts of the Spirit. Because the gifts of the Spirit continue to help us as we head in the direct press toward the mark. Press toward the mark of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, okay? So we need the gifts of the Spirit. The reason we need the gifts of the Spirit, especially praying in tongues like we talked about this morning, the reason we need that is because we don't know what it's like to be Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. We are so far removed from that state of existence that religion has taught us this is as good as it gets until the Lord comes back. But yet in the Word of God, God says, no, this isn't as good as it gets. There can be better. I can take you to the point to where you're walking in the same kind of fellowship with me that my son Jesus walked with me, that the apostle Paul walked with me. That whatever you can imagine about your favorite Bible hero, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and serving me, whatever you can imagine about them, you can have that same kind of fellowship. That's my will. Because it is a reflection of the kind of fellowship that I had with Adam in the garden. Now, our purpose then, in all that we do, See, you can. We have people here that work secular jobs, and as I shared, it may be, it might be God's desire that whatever your ministry calling is, you'll retain a secular job. There's nothing wrong with that. It all is according to the will of the Father. But even that fits into kingdom purpose. Kingdom purpose, get people back to Genesis 1. So regardless of what you do, regardless of what you do here at the church, for example, you know, a greeter at the front door, that is a part of helping people get back to Genesis 1 and 2. Well, I don't understand. How can that be? Now, no disrespect, because I can understand that kind of a question, but that kind of question reveals the fact that you really don't understand the Father's will. Because when you're His hand extended and you're doing everything you can to help people get back to Genesis 1 and 2, you're going to understand that emptying the trash cans is a part of helping people. That doing your job, where you punch the time clock on Monday morning and doing your job to the best of your ability, is part of helping people. Because you're reflecting Jesus, see? You're reflecting the will of the Father. It's all everything that we do, what the Bible talks about, in all you do, do it as unto the Lord. Because His purpose is to help get people back to Genesis 1 and 2. That's what it's all about. The Bible says that your life is but a vapor. So, there's life. But in that short span of time, we're supposed to help people get back to Genesis 1 and 2. That's what it's all about, because that's the will of the Father. But inevitably, let me say this a different way. Have you or anybody that you know ever said anything like, when you're talking about serving the Lord and fulfilling your call or, you know, whatever it would, have you ever heard anybody say something like, but I just can't do it? Or something like, I just can't do what God expects of me. Or something like, but I'm just not worthy of doing this. Or I'm incapable. Or it's just too hard. And I could go on, couldn't I? Maybe by now I've covered just about everybody in the room. Now, let me just say something right off the bat. All of those things that I just shared, it's impossible, I can't, and whatever, that is a lie. All of those things are impossible. See, if the Father's will is to get all of humanity as close as possible back to Genesis 1, that means it is to His benefit to see to it that you're healed, blessed, worthy, capable, and able. Because if you are anything less than that, you're not going to be able to help people get as close as possible to Genesis 1. Do you see this? If that's the Father's will to get people back in that direction, then that means, and since the only way He can do it, remember, it was the Father's will for thousands of years, and yet His will to get people back to Genesis 1 was not accomplished. It didn't start getting accomplished in a literal fashion until Jesus came on the earth. And the only reason that it was able to be accomplished then was because Jesus had the same nature as the Father. So now the Father's got somebody He can work through, which is what Jesus said. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. See? Well, once Jesus was down here and the Father had somebody to work through, and Jesus completed His work here on earth so that Jesus could be multiplied. And we could all become replications of Jesus. So now when we get born again and we have the nature of Jesus, which is the nature of the Father then can work through us to touch people to help get them as close as possible back to Genesis chapter 1. Therefore, for us to say, oh, but I can't. I'm so unworthy. It's just too hard. You obviously are not listening to God. Because if God's going to accomplish restoration, then He cannot do it if you aren't worthy, if you aren't able, if you aren't capable, if you don't have the capacity. He can't do it. And think of it this way. If you're so sorry and so pathetic and so unusable, then you know what? Jesus failed. Because if for this purpose the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, if you are unworthy, incapable, and can't, then Jesus failed. Because His purpose was to make it possible for you to be worthy, for you to be righteous, for you to be able, for you to have the capacity. See? Because His time down here was limited. More so than any of us. I mean, He had a definitive starting and ending point. Most all of us in this room have lived longer than Jesus. Do you know that? Almost all of us, I mean, here on earth, we have outlived Jesus. Think, how old are you, Jason? At 23, in 10 and a half years, you'll have outlived Jesus. Think about that. That's an awesome thing. Anybody in the room that's 66 or older, you've doubled Jesus. Here we have, double Jesus. That means double portion, hallelujah. Do you see what I'm saying? You understand this? So it is impossible for us to exist. Once we get born again, it's impossible for us to exist without the capacity to do these things. It's impossible for us to exist unworthy to do these things. It doesn't matter how you feel. I remember one time. Oh, Lord, what was it you said? What was it you said? It was something, unless He brings it back to my memory, I'm going to have to kind of paraphrase. He said it to me. I think I was fussing about something. Maybe I was complaining, I don't know. And I think it had something to do with, like, praying. And this happened not too long ago. I commented, I mean, I'm talking to the Lord, you know. And I said something like, I just, you know, don't feel like praying or whatever it was. And He said, you know what He said? He said, I don't care how you feel. I need you to do this. I thought, well, put me in my place. He said, I don't care how you feel. Now, you understand He's compassionate. But I think you got the message the way I got the message. You know what I'm saying? Now, think about this. You may feel unworthy, you may feel unable, you may feel like you can't do it. But, to paraphrase God, He doesn't care how you feel. He's not looking at how you feel about you, He's looking at what He's done in you. You see this? He's looking at you as somebody who now has His life on the inside, His nature on the inside. You have it. So now, that qualifies you for Him to work through you and touch other people. And not just lost people. It's people in the body of Christ. For you to touch people in the body of Christ with this kind of a message that healing is for today, because God's will is revealed in Genesis 1 and 2, and therefore He wants you healed so you can get as close as possible to Genesis 1 and 2. He wants you delivered. He wants you set free. All of these things. Because His will is revealed in Genesis 1 and 2. That's what He is after. And all you have to do is read through the Bible, and you're going to find out by the time you get to the book of Revelation and it's all said and done, where are we? Back to Genesis 1 and 2. This is amazing. And you know what? Really, it's simple. Anybody here who has read the Bible through? Okay, how many of you have started to read the Bible through but you didn't make it? It's like, you know, you got hung up somewhere along the prophets. Or maybe you just laid your Bible down when you got to the genealogies of Jesus over there in the New Testament. But you didn't make it through. But you, if you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, then you got the will of the Father. If you made it through those first two chapters, then you got from God the full revelation of His intention for mankind. All the rest of it is explaining how it becomes, again, what it was back then. See, right now we're living in post Genesis 3. Spiritually, we're pre-Genesis 3. Physically, we're post-Genesis 3. Mentally, we're somewhere in between. That's why we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that you might be able to do what? Prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect what? Will of God, which is Genesis 1 and 2. See, God's will is not just be a pastor, be an evangelist. God's will is get them back to Genesis 1 and 2. That is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And here's the thing. See, and I've messed up in this too in the past. My vision has been tunneled, tunnel focused, tunnel vision, to where the will of God is my prosperity. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, haven't we heard that? Okay, but that's just a part of it. The prosperity is for the purpose of helping people get back to Genesis 1 and 2. The will of God is healing for my body. Well, that's true. But that is a part of getting people back to Genesis 1 and 2. The will of God is to evangelize the world. That's true. But why? So we can get them back to Genesis 1 and 2. See? It all goes back to His original intent.
But I'm unworthy.
You didn't get that in Genesis 1 and 2. But I can't. You don't get that from the Bible. But how can God use me? I don't know. At this point, how can He use you? It's because you have His life and nature on the inside of you. That's how He can use you. Yeah, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. You don't. I'm just, and I can't, and it's just, I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of this. I just can't measure up. Where do you get this? What is it about the life of God in you that has convinced you can't measure up? If God sent Jesus down here to do what Jesus did, which God did, then the result is you can do what He says. You're worthy. See, again, it doesn't matter what you feel, because your feelings, what it is really, your feelings about you cause you to react to a lie. The lie is that you can't. Well, God says you can. The lie is you're not capable. God says you're capable. The lie says that you're unworthy. The Bible says you're worthy. See, God's already declared these things. I want to show this to you in the Word. I did tell you Ephesians, right? Chapter 1. Well, bless my heart. Chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now look at this. Look what He says. "According as He hath chosen us in Him," when? "Before the foundation of the world." Okay, what's that say? That says that, again, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, He's chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world. That means before that God created anything, before He created the heaven and the earth, what we talked about this morning, before He did any of that, He already knew you were going to come along, and not only that, but He made a decision to choose you to be in Christ. See? In other words, He made a decision He chose for you to be restored back to Genesis 1 and 2 before you were ever born. This is incredible. You got to be pretty smart to do this. He says, "He hath chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world." Why did He do that? So that we could be holy and without blame before Him in love. In other words, something was going to happen to cause us to not be holy. Something was going to happen to cause us to have blame. You see this? Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. So what He's telling you right here in this one verse is that He already knew ahead of time that Adam was going to blow it. You were going to come into existence with a sin nature. However, His will was for you to be holy and blameless. Or in other words, His will for you was to come into existence just like Adam came into existence in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. That was His will. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now look at, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to" what? "The good pleasure of His will." Okay, what's this predestinated business? Well, it's not talking about God looked at some people and said, I choose you to die and go to hell, but I choose you to come to heaven and be with me. No, the predestinated that he's talking about here has been revealed to us in verse 4. We were predestinated to be in him before the foundation of the world. Or in other words, God already knew what was going to happen. He knew that Adam was going to fall. That's why the lame was slain from before the foundation of the world. He already had this plan set in motion that could be manifested in this creation through Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, it was my predestined plan all along for you to be restored back to Genesis 1. It was my plan all along. For it was the good pleasure of my will. What is your will, Father? Genesis 1, Genesis 2. That's my will. That is the good pleasure of my will. And therefore, because I knew things were going to be messed up really bad, it was my will, it was a predestined will that you could be restored back to Genesis 1 through Jesus Christ. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in the Beloved. What does that mean? That means you're worthy. That means you're capable. That means you can do it. That means you have the potential. That means you're not a loser. The only reason you're a loser is if you say you're a loser and you lose. The only reason you're a loser is if you sit around and keep losing every day. The only reason you're a loser is if you choose to be a loser. But according to God, from His perspective, He's already worked in you a spiritual work that's caused you to be a reflection of the image of what happened back there in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption from what? Well, He says the forgiveness from sins, but let's take it a little bit broader than that. Redemption from a post-Genesis 3 existence. We have been redeemed from post-Genesis 3 into the beginning stages of a pre-Genesis 3 eternal existence, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Very simply and briefly, wisdom is wisdom, prudence is how to apply wisdom. Okay, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. This is taking you right back up to verses 4 and 5. What is the mystery of His will? Well, quite frankly, it's not... the will isn't the mystery. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, there's the will. The mystery is how we get there. The mystery is, how do I change my condition? In Christ Jesus. That's how you change your condition. The mystery of His will. See, this whole thing, the mystery of His will... Many people make His will for their lives as far as, what is my calling? I don't know, it's a mystery to me. But it's not supposed to be. See, if God's keeping it hidden from you, He's hindering what He wants to accomplish. If God hides from you your purpose for being here, then He's hurting Himself. It is to His benefit for you to find out as soon as possible what you're called to do, what your ministry is, so that you can help people do what? Get back to Genesis 1 and 2. Okay, now, He says, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. All right, now, what's He talking about here? Well, He's talking about us, but in a broader sense, what He's talking about is the restoration of everything that God has created. Everything. Everything. Not just people, but everything. Gathered together, all things in Christ. In other words, this 10th verse, it's giving you a look ahead to the end of the book of Revelation. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. What is His own will? Get them back to Genesis 1 and 2. What is the counsel of that will? The wisdom on how to accomplish that. What is the inheritance? We have obtained an inheritance. What is this inheritance? Is it your money? No. Is it your health? No. Directly, I mean very precisely, this inheritance is the Genesis 1 life. Everything else comes along with it. See? But God's goal was to get you back the way He started out. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That we should be to the praise of His glory. That we should be to the praise of His glory. That we should be to the praise of His glory. That we should be a reflection of His original intent. That we should be to the praise of His glory. See, it's not God's desire for us to live down here in sickness and disease and fussing and belly aching and all this other kind of stuff. See, when you begin to understand what He's trying to accomplish in you, you begin to realize you can't do it by yourself. And that's the problem. People, I'm not worthy, I can't, I'm unable. You know why they say that? It's because they can't figure out how to do it. If I tell you to get in your car and drive from here and go get me an ice cream cone, you're going to know how to do it. Because you know how to get in your car, start it, drive it, go, buy, come back, give to me. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to fuss and complain and tell me, I'm so unworthy. I can't. I'm so incapable. Oh, Brother Jim, why'd you ask me to do that? I can't measure up. You're going to say, okay, give me the money. I see in 10. Because you know how to do it. This is why a lot of people run from God. I'm not talking run into sin. It's why, you know, He's trying to reveal things to them. It's like they don't want to hear it. The reason they don't want to hear it is because they don't think they can do it. And the reason they don't think they can do it is because they don't have the plan. And they can't figure the plan out. And God says, wait a minute. It's not your plan to start with. It's my plan. You weren't around when I did Genesis 1 and 2. Remember the tongue lashing He gave to Job? Where were you when I set this up? Where were you? It's the same thing for us. You weren't there. I was. You don't know how to... You can't even bake a cake unless you read the instructions. And I'm the one that caused the wheat to grow to make the flour. It's not your plan. That's why you got to get with me to find out what the plan is for you to help people get back to Genesis 1 and 2. But people feel like they've got to come up with it themselves, and so they bail out. Well, I just can't. I can't measure up. It's just too hard. No, it's not too hard. It's not too hard. If it were too hard, it wouldn't work. But it has to work because it's the will of the Father. Therefore, it can't be too hard. The only reason it's too hard is because you haven't figured it out. And you're not going to figure it out. God's going to figure it out and tell you. But you're not going to figure it out. Oh, I could never pastor a church. What are you called to do? Well, God's called me to be a pastor. Well, what makes you think you can't? Because I just don't know how. Oh, wait a minute. Who gave gifts to the church? Jesus. Did He give pastors to the church? Yeah. That means He must figure out how to be a pastor. Well, He must. Well, don't you think He could tell you how to pastor? I'm unworthy. I just can't. This is why you have people sitting on their backsides in pews and never doing squat in church. It's because they don't understand their purpose for existence. Your purpose is not to sit on your fanny and fuss and cry and complain and do nothing and show up at church with a smile on your face, put your money in the offering plate and go back home and never do anything. Your purpose is to help humanity get back to Genesis 1, Genesis 2. That is why you're here. That's why Jesus died. For this purpose of the Son of God, was the Son of God manifest that He might destroy the works of the devil, the evil one. Now, here, He's revealing to us that this was God's plan from the beginning. I mean, from before the beginning. This was God's plan. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Where does wisdom and spiritual understanding come from? God. But I just don't know how. I don't understand God's will. It comes with wisdom and spiritual understanding. But I don't have that. That's because it originates with God, not you. How am I going to get it? Go to Him. Very simple. But if you don't do that, you don't get the wisdom and the spiritual understanding, which means you don't come to the full knowledge of His will. You know what I'm doing in these messages? I'm explaining to you the full knowledge of His will. In part. In part. God wants people back. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. For this cause, we pray, we want you, we desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. Why is that? Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, You might walk worthy of the Lord. You might walk worthy of the Lord. What does that say? That says that every single one of us has the potential to walk worthy of the Lord. We are worthy. That you mock, you are worthy, but whether you're walking worthy or not is a whole different issue. Because you are worthy in the eyes of God, but you're not walking worthy if you're saying you can't. If it's impossible. I just don't know how. It'll never work. I'm incapable. I don't have that talent. I don't have those abilities. If God's given you the call, you have the ability. It's a matter of developing what He's given you. And guess what? That's not even up to you. He helps you develop it in you. He says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How do I do that? Pray tell me. Well, here's how. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might. That word might, it's the word dunamis. In another place in Scripture, it's translated as the word power. As in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay? Strengthened with all power that you received when the Holy Ghost came upon you. In other words, it's not even your power that causes you to change. It's His power that causes you to change. So the thing is, if you tap into His power, which is tapping into what the Holy Ghost has come to give you, if you begin tapping into that power, then guess what? You start walking worthy. Not just being worthy, walking worthy. Not just existing with the potential of fulfilling worthiness, but walking, living in the worthiness that God sees you. And he goes on here and he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He says, you can say what you want to about yourself, but I have made you meet, qualified, able to be a partaker of the inheritance. Not just a receiver, but a partaker. In other words, you can take what you have received and you can work it in your life. What I've given to you, you can participate with this inheritance. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son? Allow me the liberty of paraphrasing. Who hath delivered us from a post-Genesis 3 existence and translated us into the kingdom of pre-Genesis 3? How? Through His dear Son. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Who's the image? Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Keep your finger right here and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to see something. It says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. By the Spirit of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory. In other words, we spiritually mature into the exact same image of God Himself, which is what John, 1 John over there 4:17 says, as He is, so are we in this world. In other words, all this talk about I'm incapable? No, dear heart. That contradicts the Word of God. You are capable. You are able. You are qualified. You are worthy. You can do it. See, if you're called to be a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, doesn't matter. You can do it. Don't fuss around about, well, I just can't do it, and I just can't do it. There are people that have lived their entire lives with I can't. Good people. But they've lived their entire lives with I can't. And you know one of the reasons? It's because they don't understand what I'm sharing with you in these messages. They do not understand the fullness of God's will. You see, a lot of people make God's will out to be some crazy mystery. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Yes, I do. Genesis 1 and 2. I know. That's what He wanted back then. That's what He's working to accomplish now. So I know what He's going to do. If it takes healing for my body for me to get close to that, that's what He's going to do. I know it. If I need power to get back to that, He's going to give me the Holy Ghost. Well, there's no if. He already said that's what it's about. See? Now, back over in Colossians. image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, now look at this, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Genesis 1. You see this? And He is before all things, and by all things, by Him all things consist. Once again, Genesis 1. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Or in other words, His lordship will be demonstrated over all things. Goes back to Genesis 1. And over all things that are post Genesis 3. For it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things. Do you see this? What we saw over there in Ephesians? How all things back under Him? Look at this. It's the same thing. By Him to reconcile all things unto Him. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What do you see in here? Genesis 1 as revealed in Revelation. All things restored back the way the Father intended. See, here, this is the goal. This is the will. This is the direction everything is headed. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. In other words, you're not what you used to be. From God's perspective, you're Genesis 1. And you have Genesis 1 potential on the inside of you. It's, you know, you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and now you have Genesis 1 potential. You have works of Jesus potential. It's all there. Whether you do it or not is a whole different story. Because first you've got to come to the place of understanding these things and believing it. And beyond that, then it's a matter of doing it. And he goes on here to say, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Or in other words, to take you all the way back to a Genesis chapter 1 state of existence so that God looks at you, He doesn't feel like He's looking at some stinking, lousy, dirty sinner saved by grace, but He is looking at a new creation. He is looking at another Adam. He is looking at a new life. He is looking at power. He is looking at glory. He's looking at His own image when He looks at you. That's what this is talking about. Oh, but Brother Martin, I still just don't know how to do it. You've got to be joking me. You still don't get this? You don't understand that it's not you, but it's Him? Let me show you. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Remember what we saw about good pleasure over there in Ephesians? What was His good pleasure related to? What He did in Genesis chapter 1. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. He's working in you. He's working in you. What is His good pleasure for you to be Genesis 1 and 2? That's His good pleasure. That's His will. That's His intent. That's what it's been all along. So, is it you working in you? No. Here's what happens. See, again, this goes back to why you need the Holy Ghost. God works in you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and your born-again spirit. God doesn't have anything to work with other than your born-again spirit. If He could work with your flesh, He wouldn't have needed Jesus. See? If all He needed was your flesh, then there'd be no need to be born again. He needs your spirit. He needs you born again. He needs His life in you, in that flesh, so He can work through you to accomplish His will here in the earth. He's working in you through your new nature. Go back to what I said earlier, how that we are so far removed from Genesis chapter 1, we have no idea. We have no clue. We do not know what it's like to live like Adam lived. We don't know. Well, we know what it's like to sin, but we don't know what it's like to live before sin. We don't have a clue. God knows that. So the Holy Spirit has been given to help us to understand these things, to lead and guide us into all truth, to teach us all things, to help us come to the place of understanding that God's will, first and foremost, is the restoration of all humanity and creation. And so, because we don't have a clue how to do it, Religion will train us, or the Holy Spirit will train us. If religion trains us, then religion is going to get us to focus on the things that we do by our own power. But if the Holy Ghost trains us, then He's going to teach us what we can do in His power. Remember what Paul said? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, it is not my power. Oh, I can do all things, but it's not according to my power because I don't know how. I don't understand. Think of it another way like this. We don't know what it's like to apply the life of God in us to our lifestyle. You say, well, how do you figure that, Brother Martin? Because if we did, we wouldn't have so many Christians saying, I can't stop sinning. See? Because when you're born again, you're free from sin. So, God works in us to will and to do according to His pleasure, His good pleasure, to will and to do His good pleasure in you, which is to help you. See, He can't work in you until you have His nature in you. So now that you're born again and have His nature in you, He's able to work in you. What is He working in you? To cause you to be born again? No. He's causing you to learn how to live born again. See? Because you don't know how. Who knows how? Hey, when a baby is first born in the natural, you don't give them the car keys. They'll put them in their mouth, right? I mean, even a newborn won't even do that. They don't even know how to put car keys in their mouth. They can't even hold them. They can barely see them. You know what I'm talking about. Their eyes don't focus right in all this. Well, when you're a spiritual babe, God's not going to put you on the gospel train and send you around the world preaching. He's going to have to work in you to get you to the place to where He can send you so that you can help people get back to Genesis 1 and 2. That's what spiritual growth is all about, and that's why He's the one that has to do the work on the inside of you. You know, you can go to the bookstores and pick up all kinds of Christian books that tell you how to do this and tell you how to do that, and a lot of them have excellent information. There's nothing wrong with that. Dave Roberson's got a wonderful book. However, ultimately, it isn't the book that does the work. It's God that does the work. So you can read all the books and try to apply what the books tell you to do, but if the books aren't pointing you to the one who does the work, then fooey on the book. It might have good information. It might make you feel good about yourself. See, that's one thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of jaded on it. Maybe I'm just a little too picky sometimes. But I'm just not that big on feel-good Christian books telling you how sweet you are and how wonderful you are. I'll just go to one of these seminars. I'll let Anthony Robbins tell me how wonderful I am. I'll let some of these other people, I'll go hear Zig Ziglar tell me how great I can do and all that. And I thank God for what these people do because, you know, they are helping people to a certain extent. But listen, that kind of stuff is not going to get me conformed to the image of Christ. That kind of stuff is not going to help me help people get back to Genesis 1, Genesis 2. It's God that works in you to do this. Let me show you another passage. Turn over to Jude. Turn over to Jude. Look down here, the very next to last verse. 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Now you notice that in verse 24? It says, He's able to keep you from falling. What does that mean? Well, without going through verse by verse the whole book of Jude, relating to this message, you say you can't, He says you can. You say you're incapable, He says you're capable. You say you're not worthy, He says you're worthy. He's able to keep you from falling. From falling what? He's able to keep you from falling into unworthiness, into incompetency, into inability. He's able to keep you from falling into all of these things. He can do it. And it says here, to present you faultless. Faultless. Listen, if you're unworthy, there's fault. Do you see this? If you're incapable, there's fault. If you're unable, there's fault. Because if God wants to work through you to help people get back to Genesis 1, you can't have deficiencies. You know what? The only deficiency that any of us have is where we have not allowed God to work in us to will and do His good pleasure. That's the only deficiency. It isn't that you don't have the potential. The potential is there. But He's the one that works in you to cause you to be able to do it. He says, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Not just joy. Exceeding joy. This word exceeding joy, it means exaltation, exuberant joy, rejoicing with song and dancing. You know what that means? Think of this. It's like Jesus taking you by the hand and saying, come on, man, we are going to the throne. And He's so excited. He's half dragging you. You can barely keep up with Him. He says, come on, come on, the Father's waiting. And He gets you before the throne. And He says, Father, look, it's Kim. She's faultless as I present you before your throne. Oh, Father, look here, it's Kathy. Look, Father, it's Stephen. Boy, am I happy, God. I was able to keep them from falling. They stayed the course. They came to the understanding. And it's you, Father, working in them to will and to do your good pleasure. They had their eyes open by those wonderful sermons down there at Grace Christian Center. Hallelujah. And they didn't let it go in one ear and out the other. They realized their sole purpose in life, whether apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments, it didn't matter, Father. They realized that all of that was for the fulfillment of your will to help people get back to what you started in Genesis 1 and 2. Father gets a big smile on His face and says, oh, Barry. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. I've got some rewards for you. It's not about us. See, this is why it is so dangerous to get caught up in what other people do. Because if you get caught up in what other people do or don't do, that's going to happen. You will be allowing their actions or inaction to control your life and alter the direction you're supposed to be headed. And instead of heading toward Genesis 1 and 2, which really is another way of saying spiritual maturity, instead of heading toward Genesis 1 and 2 and helping people along the way get to Genesis 1 and 2, you know what you're going to do? You're going to step off. You're going to turn your face away from God, who wants to work in you to do will and do His good pleasure. You're going to get your face off Him and onto whoever did or didn't. And what you're going to try and do, either inwardly or outwardly, is somehow control them to fit your will. You didn't. And now, this is my reaction. My reaction is to try to get you to do what I want you to do. Or you did, and you shouldn't have. And this, my reaction, is to try and control you to get you to do what I think you should have done instead. Now what are you doing? You're headed in the direction that other person is headed. You're headed over there. This is, you know who could have really done this? Jesus. If anybody had the potential to allow the actions of other people control their destiny, it was Jesus. Because the very people that had been preaching His coming rejected Him when He got here. But you know what He did? Oh, He turned and looked at them all right. He said, you know, I'm doing everything I can to teach you folks how to get back to Genesis 1 and 2, the will of the Father. and you're rejecting me. And I see your backs as you're walking away from me. You handpicked 12. I'm asking you right now, do you want to go with them? Boy, for one time, Peter got it right. Where would we go, Lord? You have the words of life. You have the words of Genesis 1 and 2. So they made a choice to go on with him, including Judas. It's the same thing for us. Every one of us in here, every person hearing this message, our goal, our purpose, the reason we're here, your calling, whatever it is, it's for you to head in the direction of Genesis 1:1. The glorified body is coming. Along the way, we are supposed to be helping other people get to that place. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That is the will of the Father. So, you know what's amazing about this message? People that say, I don't know what God's will is for my life. You know. I've just told you. This is God's will for your life. Never. You don't have any other excuses. God's will for your life is to get back to Genesis 1:2 and help people get there. Now, how you do that, that's the part you just have to get the details. Am I supposed to do it as a pastor? Am I supposed to do it as an evangelist? Am I supposed to do it as a prophet? God, I want to know. But as far as the will is concerned, that's it. That's it for every one of us. Now we just fill in the details and everything's okay. Really sounds simple, doesn't it? You know, honestly, it is. You know who wouldn't have had a problem with this message? Adam and Eve. They knew. Because they knew where they had been, and they knew what they lost, and they knew where they wanted to be. Adam and Eve wouldn't have a problem with this message. You know why we do? Maybe you don't now, but you know what I'm talking about. Christians, you know why they do? It's because we've never been taught the will of the Father. What He really wants. We've been taught all kinds of things. And all the kinds of things are supposed to play a role in getting all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2. I wonder how many more times I can say that. Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2. But you know what? I thank God for this revelation. Because when it sinks in and you really get a hold of it, I'm telling you, it'll bring clarity to your life. It'll bring clarity to why you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. It really will. And man, I praise God for that. Because I don't know about you, but for me, it helps give me a renewed interest in what I'm doing. God, it's not about me. It's about you. I just got to help people get there. Praise the Lord. And He helps me. He doesn't say just do it. He says, do it, and I'll give you the power. Hallelujah.